Hello and welcome to An Empty Room on the Ops Team, episode 24. We're here.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night, depending on where you are. We're actually on the chairs. We're just very, very small. And we're kidding, obviously. Let's transition over. There we go. Just the two of us this week.
Beam us up, Scotty, yeah.
Yeah, just the two. Yeah, beam us up, Scotty. We need more advanced video editing to make that a reality. Ops Team episode 24, welcome. Just the two of us this week on the occasionally weekly, occasionally with four technical evangelists.
Emphasis on occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. Show for IT operations and DevOps people who are interested in keeping up to date with what we think is the most important news out of all of the stuff that comes at you from Microsoft and the variety of other sources that we look through to get you this news. Now, for those of you not familiar with the show, if it's your first time, welcome. We each cover, typically when there's four of us, four areas, but when there's only two, we do double duty. So I'll cover Azure infrastructure and on-prem stuff and bring you what I think is important that you should be looking at if you've got the time. And you're going to focus in on
DevOps and some open source.
Cool. So because there's only two of us, we're not going to do the spinner that we normally do to decide. Plus, I've only got a cup of tea and it would just go everywhere. So we're going to do the whole which hand is my dongle in, so to speak. And you can hopefully guess. So here we go. Hang on. There you go. And there, to prove to the camera, the dongle was in my left hand. So there you go.
No tricks.
So I get to choose. So I'll let you go first. I'll let you open up with whatever segment you would like, and then we'll flick over to me and we'll go from there.
Okay.
So what do you want to go for first? Because I've got to start your timer.
Yeah. I'm going to start with containers then.
Okay. So here we go. 5 minutes on DevOps and container stuff. Are you ready? Here we go.
So in case you missed it, we have DockerCon happened in Seattle this weekend.
I did not miss it.
Yeah.
I went along. It was very good.
I watched it online because I didn't have a pass. Lucky guy.
I actually went along as press.
As press?
Yeah, I had a little media because I was doing some Channel 9 interviews, which will be on Channel 9 soon with various people from Docker. Very interesting, a broad spectrum of different roles that I got to speak to. And yeah, so I had a media pass. So I couldn't go to the sessions, but yeah.
So I watched the keynotes in the comfort of my chair then.
Very nice. Yeah, cool. Very nice.
So the CTO of Azure, Mark Kusinovich, made a keynote demonstration and some presentations. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give some short information about these announcements he made. The first one is Docker Data Center is now available in Azure Marketplace. So Docker Data Center is a enterprise management and orchestration platform of Docker.
Mm-hmm.
So it's aiming enterprises, companies who have different environments like on-premises, cloud, different clouds, different hypervisor, etc.
And those that want to scale out container deployment.
Exactly. So it gives a local and central view for all of these infrastructures. So they can just decide how to run containers, where to run containers, how to scale up, how to scale down. And now this is available on Azure Marketplace. So having a Docker Data Center installation ready is just click, 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 click using the Marketplace.
And that's the beauty of it. And that's awesome because it's, there's a lot of moving parts and they've done an incredible job of condensing that down into just that few clicks, like you say. And very quickly you can be deploying a Docker Data Center infrastructure to then control and manage and run your container infrastructure. So it's really cool and very quick. So even if you just want to kick the tires, take an afternoon, run it, and then start playing.
Yeah, exactly. And the nice thing is, and the images in Azure Marketplace, we are working closely with these partners. So we know about Azure, Docker knows about Docker. Weird. And we just, sit down in a table and say, hey, if you want to run this on Azure, make sure you are, making these changes and they know their product. So it's kind of the best configuration possible for running Docker Data Center.
So relating to DockerCon, I was going up the escalators at DockerCon. It was in the Seattle or Washington State Convention Center. And they had some advertising and stats about container deployments. And I think just a couple of years ago, I didn't catch the exact year, but just a couple of years ago, there was about, I can't remember, there was 1.8 or 18 million container downloads, but in the millions. This year, there's been 4.1 billion container downloads. So it's just an explosive hockey stick type adoption of containers deployment. Obviously, they're so quick to spin up and destroy that it doesn't necessarily reflect how many run at a certain time, but just the sheer explosion of container usage in infrastructures on-prem and in the cloud is just phenomenal. So Docker being a still relatively small company, one person I was chatting to, they've still only got about 300 employees, and yet they're doing incredible growth in this industry with some cool technology.
Yeah, and related to that, if you know, search for job postings with tags Docker container, it's again a hockey stick. Like,
yeah.
So you need to be learning.
It's going to be ops team just with one person soon if he carries on like that. Just me. Right, carry on. So what's next?
Azure Container Service. It's another easy way to deploy containers on Azure. So it now supports Windows Server containers on Windows Server Core. So basically, it creates a Windows Server Core machines and install Docker Engine, native engine in Windows Server machines, and you can run Windows Server containers on top of this.
Cool.
It's in preview, of course.
Because up to now, it's just been Linux in the Azure Container.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Up to now, it's just been Linux. Now you have the option to run Windows Server containers as well.
So I got the chance to actually speak to some of the guys from the Microsoft team who are on the who were on the Microsoft booth at DockerCon. So Microsoft were a platinum sponsor, or whatever the top tier was, platinum or diamond, I can't remember. But either way, they were saying there were a lot of interest in Windows Server containers for .NET applications. People who want to port or bring across those applications into a containerized environment using the Docker management and deployment technologies, but on Windows Server. So yeah, there's a there's a key theme there across .NET and Windows Server containers. But obviously, there are other frameworks that Win Server can support as well.
And SQL Server on Linux, we announced this a while ago. So the good thing is Linux SQL Server on Linux runs in a Docker container. So it's in private beta. You have to apply and make a justification about this, but it's pretty cool.
Just right, I am cool.
Yeah, it's just like Docker run, I am cool, blah, 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 blah. And you have a SQL Server running on Linux.
Access to it,
yeah. And related to that, we also published a SQL Server 2014 image running on Windows Server Core, which is available on Docker Hub.
Okay, so this is a Windows Server-based container with SQL Server 2014 in it
that you
can then deploy as a container.
So it's currently aiming developers because it's hard for IT operations to reply all the requests from developers. Say, I need a SQL Server, I need a SQL Server. So right now the developer can just start SQL Server 2014 Express in a container.
Cool. And or alternatively, they could obviously use the SQL as a service from Azure Stack, where you can just deploy a database and, boom, that in seconds it's there. But
nice plug.
That's another story. There you go. But that demo was really cool. And I'll talk a little bit more about that demo. There's so many moving parts. And I had the opportunity to chat to one of the guys from Docker, Patrick Chanazon, who we've had on. He's ex-Microsoft, ex-VMware, works
at
Docker.
My former manager.
There you go. And he he's doing cool things at Docker now, and he actually broke it down in this interview that we had together, broke down all of the moving parts of that demo because there were a lot of moving parts in Mark's demo in the keynote, from using Azure Stack to deploying on-prem to deploying in the cloud in Azure, and this whole end-to-end experience. If you follow it for the first time, it could be quite confusing because there's so much going on. But Patrick really broke it down nicely for us, so stay tuned for that as well. Yeah. I need to actually finish editing the video, so they're not published live yet. It might be by the time this goes out.
Edit my experience.
Yes, just there you go. More pressure. So anything else before you wrap up your first section?
Actually, one final thing. Service Fabric preview is available on Linux.
Oh, I read about this. Yeah.
So it was available for Windows, obviously, and the team actually ported Service Fabric to Linux. And there's a blog post sharing, their pain points, how did they do it. So if you're a developer interested, or even an IT operations guy interested in, just read it. It's pretty cool.
So for IT ops, perhaps not familiar with Service Fabric, I wasn't as familiar as I am now, having read up a little bit more about it. But it's essentially in the Windows world, it's something that you lay down across a collection of VMs, and it just provides almost like a PaaS layer of stuff that you can then run applications on top. Yeah, is that fair? Is that a fair?
It's an easy way to build a cluster and run your applications, and preferably your applications designed using microservices.
Right. Okay, so it's designed for Service Fabric. You're not going to just put Exchange on Service Fabric or SQL. Unlikely. It's a specific example. We'll link to some Service Fabric info as well for you as well. Cool. Right. Cool. So I shall do my first bit. I'll start with on-prem, and it's a bit of a slow news week, actually. There's not a huge amount of stuff, both for on-prem and Azure, at least from an infrastructure perspective. But I'm going to start my my clock, and I'll bring you up to speed with some cool stuff. There we go. So first thing, security. Nobody cares about security, right? That's true, right? IT? No.
Who needs security?
Yeah, firewall, that's all you need, an antivirus. No. Yeah. I had the chance to record, and a shameless plug here, a Microsoft Mechanics session a couple of weeks back, and that's just been published, and it was all about the Operations Management Suite, which we've talked about loads on the show in various episodes, but most specifically about the new security and audit solution that exists within the OMS. So if you've not signed up for OMS, sign up for the trial, add the security and audit solution. And it's a solution that's being added to all of the time and being evolved. And there's so much stuff in there, from aggregating all of your patch and critical patch analysis to see where your missing patches, because missing patches means you're more vulnerable to attack, but also anti-malware being out of date across systems within your on-prem or cloud environments, no matter whether they're Microsoft based or based in an alternative cloud, AWS, VMware, whatever it may be. So that's one of the true values of OMS in general. But then when we start to look at some of the specifics of the solution, one of the things I really liked is this new malicious IP threat intelligence. So for instance, if you've got servers within your environment that are accessible to the internet, you can start to see traffic coming from different locations across the globe trying to hit, or perhaps more specifically, attack your specific servers. So what we showed in the demo within the Mechanics episode is a good example of where not only can you see servers that are attacking your environment, and you can zoom in at a map level to see whereabouts those are originating from, whether it's US, whether it's somewhere in Europe or Asia, whatever it may be. And I've got a funny story I can tell about that in a minute, but you can start to see and visualize that. But perhaps more worrying is you can also start to see where your servers are sending malicious traffic out. So for instance, a server that has been compromised now has some kind of malware or some kind of bad stuff on there that's actually starting to send data back to a source in another country, for instance. And that's cool. That can be incredibly useful insight. Even if you're not a security expert, you can still gain a lot of insight from the information. So definitely check out the Mechanics video. And to wrap up my funny story, so one day I was doing a demo. It's actually at the Cloud and Data Center Conference in Germany. And I was showing the threat intelligence and where attacks were coming from. And I zoomed in to the Redmond area, and I zoomed into more specifically near where I live. And there was some malicious activity going on in just outside my town. It was just in the middle of the field. So I'm not sure. And it's where I buy my Christmas tree every year. So I'm not sure if there is some kind of malicious activity going on there or not. Who knows?
But maybe you're doing some field answer.
It might just be the map's inaccurate. But yeah. Who knows? It's still worthwhile checking out for sure. Now, moving from, well, I suppose still linked in with OMS, actually. So one key component of OMS, less about the monitoring and the insights, but more around site recovery. Azure Site Recovery has actually made it onto the Gartner Magic Quadrant for Disaster Recovery. Ooh. Now, I didn't actually know there was a Magic Quadrant for DR.
And some of Magic Quadrants for everything.
For everything. Magic Quadrant for the Ops Team show. We are the leader in that particular Magic Quadrant. But on for Gartner's Magic Quadrant for DR as a service, and I'll provide the link to it as well, Microsoft has been recognized as a leader. There's quite a lot in that space. So there's quite a lot of other organizations, some names more familiar than others. But what it means is that our Azure Site Recovery service is considered extremely useful for you, and it's got the key features you need to be able to deliver an efficient site recovery between either your on-premises data centers from one site to another, or from on-prem to the cloud. And I'll link to that. I know that some organizations do really utilize Gartner's Magic Quadrants as a strategic direction as to which way they'll go with technology investments. So certainly worth it if you're thinking about an implementation or a direction you want to take for site recovery. Now, the final thing that I wanted to talk about, again, another shameless plug, but it's for more useful information for you. If you want a bit of a refresher on some Hyper-V news and what's new and what's cool and what's going on in 2016, I actually recorded just yesterday a webcast for Redmond Channel Partner with one of the guys who works for Veeam, Clint Wyckoff. He's an MVP as well, I believe. And what we've got there is an overview of Hyper-V End-to-End 2016, just an hour long, so if you can find the time. Definitely worth checking out. talk about shielded VMs, PowerShell Direct, rolling cluster upgrades, a whole host of stuff, production checkpoints, end-to-end nano server containers. We talk about as much as we can around Hyper-V, and we answer a couple of questions as well. So definitely worth checking out, and I'll provide the links to that.
Yeah, there's tons of good stuff coming with the new Hyper-V. Sometimes I feel like we're not, you know, talking enough about them. So
it's the cow. No, I agree. And there's a lot of virtualization professionals out there who are waiting for the next version, who are interested in learning more. And what is something I said on the webcast yesterday, and something I find interesting in this release specifically, is it's not just about the core traditional Hyper-V features. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, if you think back to 2012 R2, there were some new features introduced, but there was a lot of improvements on existing, like improvements to live migration, improvements to storage, whatever it may be. Whereas now in 2016, there is containers, which for a lot of us is net new. It's completely a new concept that we need to get our head around. Nano server is a completely new deployment option. Yes, it's, you could say, well, it's a bit similar to what we did with server core, but in reality, it's very different. Yeah, the way you add packages, the way you deploy is different. So now more than ever, it's important to spend that extra little bit of time to learn some of those perhaps periphery, non-direct Hyper-V features, but they're still very relevant to have knowledge of. So you can check all that out on the webcast as well. So that's me on on-prem, and so I'll hand back to you for your next section.
Okay.
So let me tee up the clock. Are you all set?
Okay, I don't have many things to talk about.
I've not pressed it yet.
Oh, okay. Okay, I don't have many things to talk about
about this point.
So the first one is we have announced the general availability of our Visual Studio Team Services extension for Azure DevTest Labs.
Okay, I'll just delete that from my list of Azure stuff. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
So what does that mean for people? What is that? Because we've talked about DevTest Labs quite a few
times. Yeah, DevTest Labs is giving you an easy way to deploy test VMs and delete them, making sure they are shut down after work hours, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So now you can just do these operations inside Visual Studio Team Services using tasks.
Okay.
Currently, there are three tasks, create custom image, create VM, and delete VM. So you can just add this in your workflow, like, hey, create a VM, test my code in this VM, delete the VM, and whatever.
Okay, so to clarify then, for a while now we had DevTest Labs was in preview, then it became GA a couple of weeks ago, and now we've just got this extension plugin that for developers to use.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can just go ahead and install this to your Visual Studio Team Services account. It is pretty nice because it gives you another option to deploy things. Normally you can do this by using an ARM template, but you have to create your own images, you know, maintain the images. Mm. You don't have to care about these things of operations because it's already there.
Yeah.
And it's not just Windows. You have also Linux images as well. So even if you're a Windows developer, non-Microsoft developer, you can have just find something.
And that's just for VSTS today. That's not specific to TFS on-prem.
Currently, it's for VSTS.
Right.
I'm not sure if there's an extension for TFS, but I don't know.
Okay.
The second one is called Docker for Azure Beta.
Nice.
Am I
catchy name? Nope. No, I've not got that one either. You can proceed.
Okay, cool. So they just announced it in DockerCon. It's currently in a private beta, so I haven't been accepted yet. So it's pretty much like our Azure Container Service Docker Swarm option. So you can use the command line to deploy a Docker Swarm cluster running in Azure, and you can configure the options easily.
Right.
And we have something similar called Azure Container Service running in Azure using Docker Swarm. So I don't know what's the differentiation between ACS and about this now, but overall, it just gives you a very simple way to deploy a Swarm cluster, which is normally you have to spend some time like, you know, adding nodes, creating a cluster, fine-tuning which overlay driver, which storage driver, etc.
Yeah.
So this is just a ready way, an easy way to deploy Docker running on Azure. So it's just you use the Docker command line. It uses Azure Resource Manager. So give it a go.
Yeah.
They're not accepting everyone yet. They're not approving the applications yet. So just apply and hopefully you're going to be playing with this soon.
Cool. And that's your news?
Yep.
That's it? Wow. Look at that. 2 minutes to go, right. So I'll do my final bit then. And no cow for you. So 5 minutes for me on Azure. Again, it doesn't look like on the list of things I've got. Probably will not take 5 minutes, but we'll see. I'll stretch it out. So for my Azure news or Azure infrastructure, and as close to Azure infrastructure as I can get, I'm actually going to start with almost a dev type discussion.
No way.
Which is relatively shocking for me.
What's happening?
I know, what is happening?
The walls are shaking.
No, it's the guy using his drill out there. So Azure Resource Manager, as we know, is a great way for you to orchestrate deployment of single or multi-instance or more complex infrastructure stuff on Azure, VMs, network, storage, whatever it may be. So use the ARM templates as an example to be able to deploy, as we said before, from the marketplace, deploy Docker Data Center or whatever it may be. So we've just introduced some new Azure Resource Manager tools that plug into Visual Studio Code. So yes, you could have edited simply an ARM template in Visual Studio Code or Notepad or whatever your preferred editor is. But now we started to integrate some tools more specifically into Visual Studio Code. So if you're not familiar with Visual Studio Code, very lightweight, I don't know if you'd call it an IDE, would you? Just a very lightweight editing environment and development environment and running in the browser. And then from there, you can integrate this new plugin that's specifically helping you to create, manage, deploy, maintain ARM templates. And there's a couple of useful blog posts that walk through that that whole process. So yeah, pretty useful.
And VS Code is available for Mac, Windows, and Linux. And actually, some Docker employees used VS Code in their sessions in Docker.
It's really slick. Cool. It's cool, yeah, if you like that sort of thing.
And it's free.
Oh, yeah, it's free, absolutely. So the other thing, relating to what you you talked about before with DockerCon, anybody who follows Rick, our former evangelist, whose chair is still vacant.
The face in the wall.
Yeah, with the face in the wall from last episode, if you caught up with that. He's continually delivering these Tuesdays with Corey, mostly every Tuesday. And this week, Corey wrapped up and helped explain and illustrate that demo that we were talking about before from Mark Rusinovich. So he broke it down, what's going on Azure, how is it all working and stuff. So I wanted to give a hat tip to Rick's latest episode on DockerCon announcements on Tuesdays with Corey. So if you want that summarizing, if you want to drill into what that demo looks like, it's pretty useful stuff from Rick and from Corey specifically. So that's my item number two. And my final thing is around running something in DevTest, not DevTest Lab specifically, but if you want to evaluate perhaps you building apps or integration with Exchange 2016. And it's not something we've actually, I don't know if we've ever really talked about Exchange on the show.
The first time maybe.
Yeah, it could be. And it's coming from somebody who knows very little about Exchange. But Exchange 2016 has been available for a little while. If you want to evaluate whether you're building an app and you want it to integrate, or you want to test an environment, or you just want to test Exchange in general, then on TechNet, we've recently published a guidance that helps you deploy a DevTest Exchange 2016 environment in Azure. Now, I don't believe that Exchange is supported as a workload in Azure yet. I'm pretty confident that's not the case. There's some serious drilling going on outside the studio there. But essentially, what we're enabling you to do here through the guidance is what you need to deploy, what VM should you put out there, how should you configure it, and it walks you through. It's a single page, decent length, but a lot of PowerShell scripts that can help orchestrate this process very, very quickly.
Copy paste,
yeah. And before you know it, you've got essentially an Exchange deployment, dev test scale and size and configuration in Azure VMs that you can then test with your app. It's important to note that the configuration is for internal email and application testing on the Exchange server. It does specify in the guidance that no external email flow is configured, at least as part of the guidance. You might be able to still extend the guidance and integrate with an external, use it for external messaging if you prefer, but probably not, seeing as it's just for dev test guidance at this stage. So worth checking out if you've got the time and you are thinking about Exchange 2016 going forward. So that is my Azure news specifically.
Nice.
Stuck within my 5 minutes. So there you go. Should we give you a quick view of the guy?
Yeah.
Doing this? What? There he is. Look, there he is. He doesn't know, but he's on camera now. There we go. And we're back.
You're going to blur his face.
Although he didn't turn around, so I think we're okay. So, as you know, you can always get in touch with the show at the Ops team or at Matt McSpirit.
At ospasimajojuzpastirmaci.
Yes. And we haven't had any much chat this week on the Twitters. Although somebody did say it was actually Anne Michaels, who we used to work with very closely before she moved to a different role. But she said, has the ops team become German? Das wäre sehr gut. Because one of our previous episodes was called sehr gut. I hope I'm pronouncing that in my finest German there. But it was actually you who said it in the episode.
I think it's sehr gut.
Sehr gut, yeah. So we're up to 366 followers. Look at that. It's like it's like container adoption. It's like,
Yeah.
So if you want to get in touch with us at the ops team or theopsteam@microsoft.com, if you prefer email, we will read it and get to it. And yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you as usual. And we'll see you again on another episode next time, episode 25, I believe.
25 sometime, already?
Yeah, sometime in the near future. Yeah, quarter of a century. That's what we've achieved there in episodes. So we'll see you again. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.